Hey there, thoughtful listener. Would you like consistent and predictable sales activity with no spam and no ads? I'll teach you step by step how to do this, particularly if you're an agency owner, consultant, coach, or B2B service provider. What I teach has worked for me for more than 15 years and has helped me create more than $10 million in revenue. Just head to upmyinfluence.com and watch my free class on how to create endless high-ticket sales appointments. You can even chat with me live, and I'll see and reply to your messages. Also, don't forget, the Thoughtful Entrepreneur is always looking for guests. Go to upmyinfluence.com and click on podcast. We'd love to have you. With us right now, Mark Adams. Mark, you are an author and speaker, and you help businesses 10X their business. Your book is Secrets to 10Xing Your Business and Cashing Out Tax-Free. Doesn't sound like a bad proposition. Your website is acquisitions, the number four, you. So acquisitions4u.com. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Josh. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, so, okay, I'm intrigued. I'm leaning forward. Tell me, how does one 10X our business?
Well, perhaps I could just give you a little bit of a backstop as to why. And so my background is corporate and investing. And what I tended to find, if you go back to 2020, before the pandemic really kicked in, at that point, I was looking at 90, 95 companies that were in our pipeline of businesses that we would, if you like, from a private or private equity point of view, like to do more with. But unfortunately, you tend to find that 9 out of 10 companies in the SME sector, so let's call that 3 million to 30 million. Of course, it's 0 to 30 million, but for this conversation, 3 million to 30 million tend to come to market, and they don't sell within a year, or they don't sell within 2 years and they come off the market. And there are reasons for it. One of the reasons does tend to be when you think of the broker community in the SME space, it's a little bit like real estate agents where they'll overprice the business to get the listing. And then that, like a property, if you're overpriced on a property, it's going to be on the market for a long time. If you're underpriced on a property, it's snapped up immediately. And if you get it about right, you're into a 3-6 month cycle in most normal markets. In today's market, you'll probably be there for longer before you're able to sell it. And that's a real problem because in that SME sector, there is going to be a huge change of ownership of wealth in the next decade or so, mainly around the baby boomers that are coming up for retirement. And those guys kind of get stuck because a lot of the time that a value is put on a business, it will reflect the blood, sweat, years and tears that they've put into growing that business 10, 20, 30 years or more. But it doesn't necessarily reflect the profit level in the business, which has then got a multiple that gives them a value. And so my son, who was then 10, and I were chatting one day. In fact, if you look behind me, you'll, although this won't come out on audio, of course, there's a little picture of three kids, the one in the middle, or the one on the, on your, this one here, the one on the, that furthest that side, who's was 10 at the time. In my attempt to teach them the ways of entrepreneurialism, because I want them all to run their own businesses, he and I were talking about these companies. And he said to me, "You need to be helping the 9 out of 10 companies that don't sell, Dad." And I said, "But they're difficult to buy because they're too expensive." And what private equity normally does is wait for a couple of years for the price to come down because they want to buy low. And then they'll add some value to that company, hopefully, and then they'll sell it high. It doesn't always work, but that's the principle. And so I said, "Well, why?" He said, "Well, because the companies that sell don't need it." In other words, they don't need the money. He said, "The ones that don't sell do." I said, "Why do they need it?" He said, "Because what are they going to do to look after their kids?" At this time, he's thinking Lego sets, right? Mm. And I'm thinking, but it planted a seed with me because I'm not in a scalable business. We're currently oversubscribed with the companies that we help. We only help 5 or 6 at a time. So I started thinking about how would you cover that gap? And what would you do? Well, you can either wait for the price to come down, or you could start thinking about how would you work with a business owner to improve the value of it and help them exit that business with 10 times the amount of money in their pocket. Now, the title of the book's a little bit misleading because it says 10x the value of your business and cash out tax-free, but it really should say 10x what's in your pocket or in your bank account. And so what we find, and I think most people in private equity would tell you this, is people that run these businesses are brilliant at their thing.
Yes.
But they may not know anything about, well, I'm a classic. I was in mergers and acquisitions for a number of years, doing all the due diligence on the technical and some commercial on the back end, working for other people before I went out on my own. And for a lot of that time, I thought you had to write, you know, companies like Thomson Reuters, like EMC as they used to be, or Dell. You know, you'd have to have a big, deep checkbook and write a check to buy a company. Come to find out, that's not how it's done at all. You know, a lot of acquisitions are done on an initial consideration and a payout over a period of time based on future earnings. So how do you cover the gap between what the owners of the business need and what they would like and what they need for the business and what it's currently worth? Well, you tend to find that they may not be doing that much in the way of marketing their business. For example, I can normally look at a company's set of accounts and normally look at their website and say to you, that's probably a 10%, 15% uplift in revenue there, particularly from a website, because you'd be amazed at how many companies don't use a pixel. And so anybody that visits their website and then leaves doesn't get retargeted because they don't even know. So there's an opportunity for uplift there. It stunned me when you find this out. And you'd be amazed how much is sort of left on the table in terms of how they might be spending their money. For example, although outsourcing has become much, much more popular and a core part of business, too many companies look at it and say, we're taking jobs away from America, but you're not. You're putting lower cost resources outside of the States and outsourcing to generate more revenue, which employs more people back in the United States, because you can't outsource everything, right? So just looking at those two things is normally a low-hanging fruit as to things you could start to look at from the socials, from the digitals, where the older generation, not in all cases, but in many cases, are not doing enough and not listening to the younger people that might be on their team, especially if it's a boring business where a lot of younger folk don't want to work. So, and then they start to think about, you know, I don't know whether you've done any acquisitions in your career, Josh, but you can sometimes double the business in terms of size and profit in a day when you make an acquisition.
Yeah.
But you're doing it with other people's money. So just those three things might help an organization or business owners a long way down the line of 10xing their value, because you then start to find that anybody doing $500,000 or less than $1 million in profit, rough and tough, you're probably going to be worth 1x your profit in the UK and maybe 0.7x your revenue in the US. Those are rough and tough numbers. Look at biz by sell if you want to get a more accurate multiple by sector. But less than $1 million, you're worth a lot less as a multiple than you are more of $1 million. Nobody's going to argue with that. So if you can get the business to 1.4, 1.5 million in terms of its EBITDA profitability, and you can start thinking about what you're doing in digital, for example, I'm not saying that is going to be the case, but you look there and how you might save some money, and you start thinking about maybe you don't take a holiday and run it through expenses because it might save you on the P&L and the tax this year, but it's hurting your valuation next year. Those kinds of things, it doesn't take too much to sort of 5, 6, 7, 8x the value of the business just there, because you're going to get a multiple if you're selling privately that takes you from, say, let's call it 1 to 2x sub $1 million in profit to 5, 6, 7x above $1 million in profit. These are rough numbers, but it's a formula. And then if you can take that to over 2 million, 3 million, 4 million in profit because you're acquiring and bringing in other ways of driving revenue into new markets, cross-selling and upselling and those kinds of things, you start to get the opportunity to sell to a public company where your multiples will be 10, 12, 14 or 15 potentially. Now, these are all rough numbers and none of them apply to all companies. They're just a direction and a formula that most business owners, baby boomers in particular, may not be thinking about when they start to think about what could they do to grow and sell their business. And then the other piece of it is, when you sell it, how do you sell it in a way that minimizes or zeros out your tax? Now, we do have a formula, which I'm kind of shy about revealing, that does allow a company, if they follow the system that we suggest or the guidance that we offer them, the potential to cash out tax-free. But if they don't, there could be lots of reasons why they might not. For example, unfortunately, when you get to the baby boomers retiring, you're also going to get to the point where people are coming up to the end of their life. So they may not have the luxury of a year or 18 months to or 2 years to take the steps that you need to take to 10x and tax-free. But you could still tax minimize, and so many business owners don't have that knowledge. And unfortunately, when you're talking to an average CPA, their average accountant wouldn't have this knowledge either. Yeah. So you've got to go to the sort of specialist. So I can't help everybody. And that's why I put the book together, so that following the tips and tricks and the areas that are in there, and there are just 12 areas in the book. We've talked about three or four of them in a very broad brush outline in this conversation so far. Mm-hmm. But you could follow along and adapt three or four of those things into your own business and significantly increase the value of it and put yourself in a position where you could then cash out tax-free. So I didn't write the book because I wanted to make a lot of money, because you don't make any money when you write a book. But I did want to do more to help other people help themselves. And it's a selfishly driven agenda, if I'm really honest, because I want my kids to run their own businesses and be financially free. And my youngest said to me, I'd like to be financially free, but I don't want it to take me as long as it took you, Dad. Thanks a lot, Tommy. But but for him, and so with that in mind, in order for them to see, you know what it's like with, you know, kids and parents, they'll listen to anybody else except their parents.
Oh, so, sure. Of course. Yes, of course.
So the legacy I want to leave them is going to be in the form of YouTube videos, which if people find value in, or the book, if people find value in, they might, when they're ready, and they're not at the moment, the teenagers, start to pick up on some of this stuff. And if I can show that it's helping other people or has helped other people, it'll give them more confidence to move in that direction itself. So to help my kids, which is my selfish agenda, I want to teach them to fish, but not give them the fish. I've got to help other people first. And that's why I put the book together, to try and help other people. And so far, I'm not J.K. Rowling. This isn't going to sell millions of copies. But so far, it's been out on Amazon for just over a month now. And it's had privileged to say, some nice reviews and a couple of really good reviews from industry experts in the M&A field that I respect. So I was kind of delighted and not expecting that. But I'm not going to be J.K. Rowling. This isn't a book that sells millions of copies. This is a business book that's designed to help people. Now, to my surprise, I have found an awful lot of people that I wasn't expecting in the younger generation. You tend to find, or I'm finding, let's say, those that are over 55 and those that are under 35. I can't speak to the middle band. But anybody that's young coming through these days, because of social media, understands wealth creation and understands branding like it's on the back of their hand. They don't have any issue with it. But the older generation don't think that way. They've come through from a business point of view, running P&Ls successfully, you know, and building profitable businesses from the numbers point of view. And so they don't understand brand creation as fluently as the younger people do. So what I'm finding with the youngsters is they don't understand the steps that they might take to put together the backbone and the nuts and bolts of running a successful business. If it's outside of something that you know, I'm not talking about the Kardashians that, you know, have made a fortune on the social media side of it and well played to them. I'm talking about the more traditional people that are running, if you like, boring businesses all over the world, let's say. Or traditional businesses, not boring, but traditional businesses. Those kind of people, especially the older ones, understand P&L a lot more as they go on their journey, more than brand creation. What surprised me with the book and some of the YouTube shorts that I've been putting out is that group are coming through and asking questions, because they're seeing it as a stepping stone to what do they do to put the building blocks in place, like Lego bricks, to, you know, take that next step. I wasn't expecting that. I wrote the book for the retiring generation, because so many of those deserve more when they sell their company. But unless they take some simple steps to improve the performance and the profitability of the company, it's going to be difficult for them to get it.
Yeah. The book, Mark, is Secrets to 10Xing Your Business and Cashing Out Tax-Free. Your website is Acquisitions for You. Again, Mark Adams, you're the author. Your book, it's on Amazon, I assume.
Amazon, Kindle, and Audible.
Excellent. All right, great. And when someone goes to Acquisitions for You, what would you recommend that they do?
Well, Acquisitions for You is a mirror of my personal brand. And so I started the Acquisitions for You business as doing exactly what I've done in the book. I'm in the process of switching it now, Josh, to build my personal brand an awful lot more, because people buy into individuals, not companies. So when you think of me and the company, they're joined at the hip and they're at one at the moment. So everything that we've just spoken about is what you're going to see on the website. But any of your readers are listening and it makes sense for you, and if it doesn't, edit this piece out. I'm quite happy to say through you, you know, the first 10 that come to you and say, I'd be interested in the book, I'll give it to them for free. It's not a profit-making exercise. I don't have a QR code or anything I can offer you for that. We'd have to figure out how that would make sense. But
All good. You know, just make sure to our friend, just note that on the contact form. Again, the website, Acquisitions for You. Mark Adams, again, thank you so much for joining us. Again, your book, Secrets of 10Xing Your Business and Cashing Out Tax-Free. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
You are welcome, Josh. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Thoughtful Entrepreneur Show. If you are a thoughtful business owner or professional who would like to be on this daily program, please visit upmyinfluence.com/guest. If you're a listener, I'd love to shout out your business to our whole audience for free. You can do that by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or join our listener Facebook group. Just search for The Thoughtful Entrepreneur in Facebook. I'd love, even if you just stop by to say hi, I'd love to meet you. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program every day. Together, we are empowering one another as thoughtful entrepreneurs. Hit subscribe so that tomorrow morning, that's right, 7 days a week, you are going to be inspired and motivated to succeed. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you for around 15 minutes each day. Thanks for listening, and thank you for being a part of the Thoughtful Entrepreneur Movement.